Thank you, Brother Jackie. I've had the privilege and honor of knowing him for a long time. When Vanessa and I first got married many, many years ago, I remember the first time I ever got to meet him is when he came to First Baptist Millington and preached, I believe it was a revival that we had at the time. And I still remember that sermon because you never forget his titles. He has some of the most tremendous titles. In fact, there's been several times I wanted to steal them. And I just couldn't bring myself. So since we're having the Lord's Supper, I thought I might as well go ahead and confess that now. And and he may have preached at other times. Many good pastors and great pastors preach good sermons sometimes over and over. And I still remember that one. That one was called Burying the Hatchet Without Leaving the Handle Sticking Out. In fact, you can't get past that. In fact, my wife reminds me of it all the time. So, and anyway, we've had a good time meeting them, being with them. In fact, my ministry started at First Baptist Millington back in 2008. I got called then, didn't surrender till 2010. And then in 2011, got called to a church in Middle Tennessee, had the privilege of serving up there 8.5 years. And then the Lord called us to the great state of Virginia. We were up there for about a year, and my father-in-law passed away, and that brought us back here to be with my mother-in-law during her time of just had a lot going on. You know, when you lose a loved one like this dear lady here, there's so much that goes in behind the scenes that needs to be taken care of. And so I told Vanessa, I said, you know, the Lord is definitely calling us to go back home, because if we can't minister to our own family, then who can we minister to? You know, there comes a time where you do have to kind of leave the ministry of others to be with your family. And that was definitely our time. And during that time, the Lord had opened up other avenues for me to go back into business. And so my ministry has actually changed a little bit. I'm more of a Barnabas now. I come alongside pastors and churches to help fill in, come alongside them with whatever help they might need. And so that is the ministry season that I'm in right now. And so we've had the opportunity of enjoying it, being able to travel, go to different churches, different areas. And it has been very, very exciting. And so I want to give you a little sermon inside a sermon, because what happens is when you're in ministry, you never know where the Lord's going to lead you. And there might be some of you that are here today that the Lord has called into the ministry. And listen, don't be afraid of the call. It becomes an adventure to be able to serve the Lord, just as that song stated. The more you serve, the sweeter He becomes. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's easy, because it's always challenging, but we know the Lord provides. We know He's always going to be there for us. And so I just want to encourage you with that. And today, as we honor the Lord, doing the Lord's Supper, it is just a great privilege to be here today and filling in for this wonderful man as well and his family. And so if you got your Bible, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I have 4 points I want to share with you as we go over this scripture. Now, if you've been a believer for any amount of time, and if you've had the wonderful privilege of observing the Lord's Supper, or some people might call communion, this is a passage that is used over and over again. It's a passage that gives us the direction, the instruction, but it also gives us a point of examination, and we're going to get to that just a little bit later. But if you got your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, the scriptures tell us this: "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let him examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, son, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the Lord, with the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you again today. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can come and gather around your table. Father, you are the honored guest. Father, you are the host. Father, we just thank you that we can surround ourselves in your grace and in your mercy. Father, I just thank you for it each and every day in my life. Father, of how I see your grace abound. And Father, I just thank you for your mercy, because we know it's new every morning. And Father, we just thank you that as we come today to gather, we use this time as a time of worship. We thank you that we've been able to worship through song. Father, now may we just come to worship around your table. But Father, we need to come and worship in spirit and in truth. Father, because there's a time as believers that as we come, there comes a time of confession. For some that are here today, there may be a time of restoration. Father, for some, there may be a time of having to make decisions. But Father, whatever they are, we pray that your Holy Spirit may just settle among us. May it just rest upon us in this holy place during this holy time. So, Father, thank you that you give us this opportunity to come and gather in your house to worship you. And we just thank you again for this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And so I want to share with you 4 points today very quickly as we prepare to serve and to observe the Lord's Supper. The first point I want to share with you is this, as Paul explained in verse 23 there, it is a time of explanation. Many people will wonder, why do we do this? It is because Jesus himself observed this, and it has become an ordinance of the church. This is why we do it. Because when you begin to gather around, this becomes a holy time of observing what the Lord Jesus has done for you and I. I mean, if you're saved, let me tell you, I thank the Lord every single day, because I didn't grow up in church. I didn't have that privilege or honor of doing that or opportunity. In fact, my family at that point in time was very anti-church. And when you began to talk about church, they didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so I loved playing basketball. And a friend invited me to go play basketball for the church. And I said, yeah, I'll play. The season's over at the high school. I'll come play with you. So we went to play. And as we began to play, the coach would talk to me, and he asked me about church. And I'm like, man, I don't go to church. I said, I'm just here to play ball, honestly. And I said, I love playing basketball. A friend invited me, so here I am. About 3 practices in, the coach said, Barger, I need to talk to you for a minute. And when he said that usually doesn't mean well. It usually means you're either about to get cut or they're about to ask you to leave. Don't come back. But he said, Bruce, I need to talk to you for a minute. I said, okay, coach, well, is everything okay? He said, yeah, everything's fine. Except, and then he asked me this question. He said, Bruce, if you were to die today, do you know you would go to heaven? And I said, coach, I don't know where heaven is. I said, I'm not a religious person. And I said, so I'm assuming I would. I said, I gave the normal answer. You know, I haven't shot, killed, stole, robbed, anything like that. And he's like, Bruce, it's not about that. And he shared the gospel with me in literally less than 10 minutes. But within that 10-minute time frame, I knew in my heart then that I was a sinner that needed to be saved. Now, I didn't understand the whole cross. I didn't understand what Jesus had truly done for me until later on. But I knew at that moment in time that God spoke my heart and said, you need to be saved. You need to believe what your coach is telling you. And I remember sitting right there. And he led me in a very simple prayer. He just said, Bruce, just repeat after me. And that's what I did. But in my heart, I knew my heart was beginning to be molded and changed. And I'm going to tell you, the first time that I had the opportunity of observing the Lord's Supper, it was a special time. I got to tell you, because at that moment in time, I realized, thank you, Jesus. Because at 18 years old, I had somebody that found me worthy enough to take 10 minutes out of his busy day and not worry about coaching a team to be better, but said, this young man needs Jesus. And I thank God for that every day. So when people ask about the Lord's Supper, see, there comes a time of explanation because, see, also we don't, it's an ordinance, yes, but then it's not a ritual. We don't want to make it where every time we come, it begins to lose its flavor. It begins to lose its true meaning to us. Because let me tell you, church, that's one thing I would hate to know, that the church did it so often that it becomes desensitized to the Lord's Supper. That would be a time of where we'd even have to ask ourselves, why are we even meeting? Because you see, that what Jesus did for us on that cross, none of us could ever do. Listen, church, we need to allow this time to allow it to be that holy time of sinking in. Because listen, this morning or yesterday when Brother Jack said we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper, I'm like, woo! Yeah. I'm like, amen. I said, I'm there. I love it. Because I knew where I could have been. I knew the road where I was going was going to pull me farther and farther away. That narrow road was getting miles and miles and miles away until that coach, he drove me back. And you see, every day or every time I get to do the Lord's Supper, I'm reminded of that. It's still crystal clear in my mind. It's a day and time I will never forget. But then also, we have to remind ourselves that the Lord's Supper is not, it is not for an unbeliever. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, today needs to be the day. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, you need to be willing to just repent of your sin. If you've been coming to the church long enough but you're not a believer, listen, I know Brother Jackie, he's preached the gospel. I know you hear it every Sunday, so you know what it is. But it becomes a point in time where you just have to be willing to say yes. Lord, I come today asking for you to forgive me of my sin. Lord, I'm asking you to remove my sin and my shame. Lord, I know you can wash me white as snow. And Jesus, thank you that you do that for me. And I come today just repenting of my sin. Jesus, I may not understand it all, but I know that's what I need to do. And we want to give you that opportunity before we partake of the Lord's Supper, because as we get down later on, there is judgment against those that do it. You can't take it in an unworthy manner. But then point number two I want to share with you, as Paul explained in verse 24. Listen, we have to understand. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It becomes a time of exaltation, ladies and gentlemen. It becomes a time of worship for us. People should not dread taking the Lord's Supper. You should not come to church going, oh, and you see the beauty down here. And you go, oh, man, we got to take the Lord's Supper. Listen, if you feel that way, I pray you'd come and repent, because you shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't feel like, oh, it's an obligation or it's a duty. No, it's a time to come and exalt the Lord Jesus. And if you're saved, you got everything to be exalting him about. Listen, I'm telling you, for those of you that have been saved for a long time, maybe you've kind of lost a little bit of your saltiness. Maybe you've lost a little bit of, because the world, I mean, let me tell you, the world's not easy on us. It does beat you down. But listen, there, you might need to come and just have a little time of restoration with the Lord Jesus. There might be a time where you just need to come and say, Jesus, you know what? I've let the world beat me down. I've become desensitized. I've become complacent. And Jesus, you know what? I need some refreshing. And let me tell you, every believer needs that. Every believer needs a time of refreshing. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with you coming to saying, Lord Jesus, I've gone through some hard things. And Jesus, I'm just at my wits' end. And Jesus, I just need to come before you and just be totally honest and say, Jesus, I'm tired. But Jesus, I know that you can restore my heart. Just as you did David, Lord, I pray that you would restore my heart. Make it brand new. And listen, he'll do it. I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus would be willing to come and do business with you today, right at that very moment, in this very room. Because you see, it becomes that wonderful time of exaltation where redemption, I thank God every day for mine. I mean, let me tell you, I know where I would have been. But then it's also a time of thanksgiving. I mean, when you think in John chapter 10, verse 18, when Jesus said, "No one take it from me," talking about his life. "No one takes this life from me. I willfully lay it down." We have a Savior who is willing to take his life, lay it down, be willing to take the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet, take the thorn of crowns upon his head, willfully, that you and I could be saved. I mean, it blows my mind that other people are trying to get to heaven some other way. When they think, if I give enough money, I can get there. Or if I give, you know, I've been a member of the church for, you know, 80 some odd years. That's not going to do it either. I mean, it becomes a time of exaltation. It becomes a time where I thank God every day for my redemption. I thank Him every day, Lord Jesus. I just can't thank you enough. Because I would be on the road to hell not knowing anything about Him if it wasn't for my coach. And listen, there are many of you that are here today that had that one person that may have shared the gospel with you. Listen, you ought to be exalting the Lord that person found you. And the Lord touched their heart enough, and they were willing to be led by the Spirit. So I need to share Jesus with that person. Or maybe you got saved at church. Maybe it was the pastor. Maybe it was a friend, deacon, or whoever it may have been. Listen, there's a time of just thanksgiving. But then also, I want to share with you point number three. There comes a time of expectation. When you look in verse 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." Now, we all know. And listen, this ought to raise the roof for you and I. We know Jesus is returning. And listen, and I know the election cycle, everybody gets worried, everybody gets concerned. And I completely understand it. You know, because we want to do what's right. We want to see what's right. But when you read the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us it's going to get worse. And as believers, you and I have to stand firm on God's Word. We know that this is the inerrant, infallible Word of God that you and I can count on. And as things get worse and worse, we can sit there and say, "Jesus, I know today may not be the day You're returning, but I know one day I'm going to be listening. Because when that trumpet sounds, all of a sudden, the Lord's return will be here."
Amen.
And you and I, if you're a believer, we're going to be called up. Amen. We're going to be there in heaven. We're going to get to see some of those that have gone before us. This world, I mean, I don't want to be here when you begin to see the book of Revelation unfold. I think if you've read it enough or you've read part of it, you know what's going to happen. And it's not going to be pretty. When I hear these atheists and I hear unbelievers saying, "Oh, well, when, I mean, I'm going to be taking my ski boat on the lake of hell," I'm like, buddy, the reality is there is not going to be no fun in hell. You may picture yourself doing it. You may want to be thinking, "You're such a big shot, that's going to happen." But listen, the day's going to come that when you stand before the Lord Jesus, and if He was to ask you, "Why shall I let you enter my heaven?" and you give Him some crazy answer, and say, "Well, God, I was pretty good. I mean, but you know what? You can go ahead and send me to hell. Go to hell." And let me tell you something. There are people, as we've seen in Scripture, begging for just a tip of water on their tongue, that they will live in utter torment. Listen, there's no fun that's going to take place in hell. People can say what they want, but hell is a literal place. It's a physical place. It is a spiritual place that where those without Christ will be, but it will be a place of utter torment. And when you read the Scriptures, you see what happens there, is that these people will never escape. It is forever, for all eternity, just as heaven is for all eternity. Listen, that time of expectation, if you see the world like we do, getting progressively worse and worse and worse, listen, the time of Jesus is coming. Now, when he comes, we don't know, but the scriptures say that we need to watch and pray. And as believers, that's what we exactly need to do. Listen, don't get so tied up in the election. Yes, you want to do your part, you want to vote, you want to do all that. But listen, but if you talk about it more than you pray about it, listen. Pull back. Say, you know what, I need to be praying about that. Instead of joining in some of these hard conversations or these long conversations or whatever it might be about the political systems, whatever's taking place, you know what? Just say, you know what, Jesus, I'm spending more time, effort, and energy on that than I am with you. So let me back up. Jesus, let me take that same energy and focus it more on you. And listen, when you do that, it changes. It'll change. It'll help. Let me tell you, it'll help get rid of that worry. It'll help get rid of worry. I mean, it'll help get rid of some of that anxiety. It'll help you get rid of some of that fear. Because we serve the Lord Jesus, who's in command. None of this has caught him by surprise. In fact, we all know it's already, he knows everything that's taking place. So listen, church. But if it comes a time of expectation, listen, the Lord, when he comes, oh, I think there's going to be the biggest time of worship in heaven that none of us can even imagine. It's going to be inconceivable because now we're going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. We got to remember, this world is not our home. But then, point number four, I want to share with you this, and this is where it becomes very personable. It becomes a time of examination. In church, Paul himself wanted believers to understand how important this is. Now, there are people that will take the Lord's Supper, and they feel like, I just take it, I don't care. I can have sin in my heart, I'm an unbeliever, I'll still take part of it. And they may walk out, and they may think nothing's going to happen. But listen, the chastening of the Lord will be upon you. It will be up to His timing when He decides to issue it. For me personally, I've been chastened by the Lord. Now, fortunately, I learn quickly. I'm a fast learner when it comes to that. I'm like, Lord, because I knew I did wrong. And He chastened me. And I'm like, Lord, I repented very quickly. And said, Lord, I don't want to go do that again. David found out what it was like to be chastened. We have Peter. Peter found out a little bit there, you know. Everybody in the Bible at some point had a little bit of that because nobody's perfect. But yet, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, we know enough as believers. We don't want to partake in an unworthy manner. When Paul wrote this in verse 28, or in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let him examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Listen, and they give us, tells us what happened. Some of those that did, they ended up weak and sick, and many fell asleep, and many sleep. It means that they passed away. Now listen, church. I want to give you this. It is a time of self-examination. And before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're going to have an invitation. And regardless if you're not saved, I pray today would be your day of salvation, that you can celebrate partaking of the Lord's Supper as a new believer in Christ. Brother Jack, you'd be here. But maybe there are some of you, listen, there is no shame when we say, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I have ran this race. I have had so much going on. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I need some refreshing. Listen, there's nothing wrong with just praying that. Lord, it's before I partake of your supper, Lord, restore me. Lord, forgive me of my complacency. Lord, forgive me where I have just become just mediocre towards you, where I have become cold towards you. But Lord, here I am. Listen, and some of you you've had things happen in life, and we all get that way. But there needs to be that time of refreshing. I mean, let today be that day of refreshing for you. That way, when you partake of the Lord's Supper, there will be a peace that will just surround your heart and soul. because you've laid it over. You've surrendered it to the Lord. Because this is what needs to happen, is that there needs to be that self-examination. There needs to be that necessary factor of confession of sin. Listen, if you got sin in your heart, you don't have to come to me or Brother Jack. You can confess it right there because it's between you and the Lord Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I've sinned. I've messed up. Lord, you know what it is, Lord, and I ask you to forgive me because I don't want to partake. I don't want your judgment upon me. So therefore, I'm coming today, Lord, to repent of that sin. But then also, because what happens is that we got to search our hearts. For some, we need to search our hearts for the sin of the tongue. See, things that we have said that should have never been voiced. But then we also need to search our hearts for the sins of action. See, things that were done that shouldn't have been acted out. But then we also need to search our hearts for the sins of thought. See, these are things that we have harbored in our minds. But then also, we need to search our hearts for the sins of omission. And these are the things we know God wanted us to do, but we didn't. Or maybe we started, but we left them undone. And then there needs to be that time of recommitment. Saying, Jesus, I started, but I didn't finish. So Jesus, I commit today before I partake of your supper. I'm going to commit to finishing whatever it is that you wanted me to finish. Lord, I'm committed to doing what you've asked me to do. Lord, I'm coming today to surrender. So I want to ask you today, for some of you, the Lord may have been leading you here to join the church, but you keep putting it off in membership. Can I ask you, why? Why not become part of, if the Lord keeps leading you here, become part of the membership? Now, the membership's not going to save you, but it becomes part of you being part of the fellowship. It's a sweet fellowship that you can be a part of. There may be some of you here today, you've been saved, but you've never followed through with baptism. Make that commitment today. And say, Lord, I know I've been saved, but I've never followed through in baptism. Yeah, but Jesus, I need to do that. That needs to be my first act. Let people know that this decision that I've made, because that's what baptism is. It's that reflection of that faith in Christ where you put your heart in. Buried in the likeness of his death, resurrected to walk in newness of life. It is the most beautiful picture of a person being saved that we get to see in the physical sense. But then also, there may be some that you need some restoration. You've had some hard times. Whatever has happened, it's pulled you from the Lord. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's been circumstances. But you know, today needs to be that day where you say, Jesus, I just need to surrender it. Jesus, today is the day I just need to lay this at your feet. I pray you'd be willing to do that today. Because my prayer is that nobody in this room would partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So at this, I want to ask everybody if you bow your head and close your eyes. And Father, as we come before you, Father, as we go into this sweet time, Father, of allowing people to do business with you, Father, it's not about us, but Father, it's all about you. Father, I pray that we would come today, Father. Father, we pray that, Lord, you'd forgive us of our sin. Father, I pray that you would forgive us of being just numb and desensitized toward you. Father, may today be that day where you can refresh our hearts. Father, for some that need to make decisions, I pray today would be that day that they would just come decisively and say, Jesus, it's been on my heart. I know you want me to do it, so Lord, I lay it at your feet. I surrender to do it. But Father, we just thank you as we prepare our hearts and our minds. Father, I pray that we would prepare in the Spirit and be totally honest and truthful with ourselves as we come before you, because we know that you see everything. And Father, we just thank you that we can examine ourselves and come before you clean and pure as we observe your supper. So, Father, may your Holy Spirit move within our hearts. May this be a holy time of communion in your place. And, Jesus, thank you again for your grace and mercy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.